I've literally tried so much to try and fix it, and this has been the only thing that's kind of helped it, and it makes sense.
Hey guys, I'm Maddie Garrick and I play for Australia in the 3x3.
Once you start to see the benefits, experience it, you're like, oh my God, I've been doing this with like my whole career without this tool. And like, imagine if I had started this when I was, you know, 11 years old. You know, some of the top NBA players, Wemby, they're adding it to their regime because it's become aware of how important it is for performance. Sometimes doing the most basic stuff can be so boring, but once you incorporate a fun way to do it, like, you know, with the soulmate or the hacky, you know, doing stuff with friends and making each other accountable, and that unstructured play in a flow state. And I know this is something that is going to help my Achilles and my body the most.
Welcome to the Restore to Explore podcast from the Foot Collective. We're on a mission to empower humans to restore their natural health and function from the ground up, so we can all explore movement and life with freedom and confidence. Before we jump into this week's episode, we wanted to let you know about our TFC athlete program. We've teamed up with Vivo Barefoot to spread awareness about the power of barefoot training and natural footwear to professional athletes globally. In a world of high performance, the smallest margins can make the largest differences. It's all about the one percenters. Many athletes overlook their feet, but those who've benefited understand their paramount importance. If you're here to be the best, that means leaving no stone unturned. TFC athletes recognize the foundational importance of foot health, balance training, and holistic movement to reach the top of their game and minimize injury risks. That's why we're partnering with Vivo Barefoot, pioneers in crafting footwear that respects the natural shape and function of the human foot, to provide professional athletes, coaches, and teams across the world with tools, training, and shoes that enhance their performance and resilience from the ground up. If you're a professional athlete, check out the link in the description to apply to become a TFC athlete. Or if you're just wanting to experience the power of natural footwear for yourself, head to vivobarefoot.com and use the code THEFOOTCOLLECTIVE for 10% off your next pair. Well, Maddie, thanks so much for jumping on the podcast today. It's been a bit of a long time coming with life always getting in the way. Rescheduled and rescheduled on both our accords a couple of times, but I'm glad we're finally getting to have this chat. And yeah, how's everything been?
It's been wild, actually. I think that's also a blessing and a curse of living overseas, is I get to experience something completely different. But then being able to jump on calls isn't always as easy, especially with time difference. But here we are finally. It's been another long season so far. I started back in September, and I'll be finishing probably around late April, early May, I think. Connecting with you guys couldn't have come at a better time. In terms of my journey and my body and stuff. So it was just perfect when we got in contact. So I'm super excited to talk about the stuff we'll talk about today.
Cool. Well, people listening can probably pick the accent. You're a fellow Aussie, but you're not currently in Australia. You're also a professional basketballer. Can you tell us,
yeah,
your journey as a basketballer? I mean, where did it start here on Aussie shores, and where are you now?
So where I am now, I'm in Italy. This is actually my second season playing overseas. It's a lot different in terms of the structure of training and the length of the season. But I'll talk about that a little bit towards the end. But how I got into basketball, I actually grew up playing netball and doing athletics. And really, I just got into basketball because I had two older brothers and they started playing, and I just had to do everything that they did. So they started playing just for some fun and to keep fit and make friends after school. And so, of course, I joined, and I just fell in love with it straight away. I loved the sport, the way, in terms of, you know, how it was run. Everyone was involved at the one time. And I loved the team setting. I knew I could never, at that time, be an individual sport athlete. I just loved working together with other people, in a team, and doing something to achieve a goal together. And I love working with people off the court as well. So that's how I got into it. I started playing when I was 11, which is actually quite a bit older to a lot of my peers. They started when they were, you know, 6, 7, 8 years old. And as I said, just stumbled across it because of the, you know, my brother's playing. And then at 15, I guess I had to decide on what sport I wanted to specialize in, whether it was going to be, you know, athletics or netball or basketball were the two main pathways. And I chose basketball. I felt like connected better to the sport and the people. And yeah, then I started playing for professionally around that age, obviously picking that pathway. And I've been playing professionally ever since, up until I guess nearly 2 years ago. I had been playing professionally in Australia in the Women's National Basketball League, or we call it the WNBL. And then I had a taste of overseas life in 2019, where I went to Turkey for 2 months on a short-term European contract. And after that, I was like, you know what? I need to experience, you know, life overseas. I knew it was going to be tough, and I just had to get a few things with my body right first. I had some ongoing knee issues that were ankle issues that were creating other issues, like in my knee, from, you know, instability and chronic tightness. And so in 2020, I had an ankle surgery, and then after I played one more season, and then I went overseas for the last 2 years, basically. And it's been the best thing in terms of, you know, my career, my life, you know, everything in between, and just learning everything, even just taking even more care of my body overseas, because they're, you know, a little bit behind with strength and conditioning, and especially foot health. And it's I have a lot of time to work on those things, and I need to do those things in order for me to maintain 2 to 3 sessions a day, 6 to 7 hours on court a day, plus some games on the weekend and some weight sessions. So, yeah, as I said, it couldn't have come at a better time, connecting with you guys.
And you grew up in a little town called Shepparton, I believe, a long way from Brescia near Milan, where you are now, on a small hobby farm. Can you give us a bit of background on what life was like on the farm, and yeah, I guess how that may have armed you with the skills that have taken you all over the world now?
I absolutely love growing up on the farm. It was funny because when I was playing basketball, and I would travel to Melbourne to get some more competition, they were like, "Oh, you're so different to, you know, as our general city people." And they were just like, "Oh, we can see that the difference between country people and city people." And I think it was just the freedom that we had and the creativity we were allowed to, you know, explore and experiment with. And also why it's kind of perfect, because I just loved not having shoes on. And Dad would always be like, "Ah, you know, you got to put your shoes on because there might be snakes and this and that." And I was like, no, I loved feeling the grass on my feet. I loved feeling connected like that, but also, you know, walking on different surfaces, and I just loved being outdoors. And yeah, I think just having that creativity to just run around and create things, and imagine I was like this Olympian already, or, you know, doing a different sport, or just, you know, just being outside playing for hours and hours. Yeah, exactly. Just playing. And I remember I never played soccer. My brother did, or one of them did. And I just had this goal one time. I couldn't kick a soccer ball. And I just remembered being outside for probably like 2 hours. And I said, I'm not going inside until I do like, I don't even know what they call, juggling with their feet, 10 in a row. Like, I had to get 10 in a row, and it probably took me 2 hours. And it was just things like that. And then I would try it with, you know, something to do with cricket or something to do with another sport. So that's why I loved, you know, growing up in the country. But it did have its difficulties when it came to, you know, getting the right competition at a certain ages. There wasn't competitions for, you know, women or girls of, you know, under 14s, 15s. And so, you know, it ended up being 6 years from, I think, under 14s. Twice a week I was going back and forth from Melbourne. So from my house was about 2.5 hours door to door, twice a week. And then I'd come, so on a Friday we'd play, come home on a after the game, and the older I get, the later the games got. So I was playing about 9:40 p.m. on a Friday night, get home about 2-3 o'clock in the morning, get up, play netball, watch my brother play footy, and then Sunday morning would go, leave at like 4 o'clock in the morning, doing an individual with my coach before 2-hour team practice, and then drive home again Sunday night at night. So that was just on the week, the weekends. And then during the week, I was going to and from Bendigo, another country town, when I started training with the national team there, the Bendigo Spirit. So it was a lot of time spent in the car, but that also kind of set me up to be able to be playing overseas in Italy at the moment, and had the, you know, opportunity and the privilege of playing in, for Australia in both the 5-on-5 and 3x3 versions of basketball. So, yeah, when you kind of put it that way, a long-winded answer, but I always stop and think that just a country girl from a small town and living on, you know, in almost in Milan and the other side of the world, and I was living in Tuscany last year, it's just unbelievable.
It's pretty cool that sport can make all that happen, and literally just the ability to play really well at something can open up all of those opportunities. But it's obviously a lot of hard yakka that's gone in to get you there. What was it like when you sort of made that debut and in the National League? And I'm guessing mum and dad were there, and
of course,
must have been a special moment.
No, it's I still remember it. I still remember running on the court. I was nervous as hell. Like, I was absolutely shaking, like, just incredible. Because, I was playing alongside 3-4-time Olympians. I was playing against, you know, the national team players and people who had been in the WNBA and this and that. And I just thought, oh, my God, they're just incredible. So I'll never forget that moment. And then, yeah, obviously my parents were there. The sacrifices that they made for me in many ways, their time and their dedication of driving me back and forth, Bendigo, Melbourne, and all over country Victoria, basically. Not to, you know, forget with any sport endeavor or job, there's a lot of financial input as well. So again, if I didn't have the dedication in many areas from my parents, again, I couldn't be sitting here having this conversation. But it definitely gave me a drive to, you know, work hard, because they were putting in a lot of time too. And so I needed to make sure that I was going to put same output into my sport.
Yeah, cool. And that output, I mean, you've mentioned it already, the amount of training and just all the rigors that come with professional sport, and the wear and tear it takes on the body. You mentioned an ankle injury. Had you had many injuries sort of throughout your career, and what sort of toll did they take throughout?
The main one that I had, touch wood, I never really had any major injuries. You know, I had a lot of, I think I've broken every finger on my hand, including my thumbs. Like, some are still not in the right places, but, you know, that's just part of the job, I guess. A lot of soft tissue injuries from overuse, or not, you know, not firing the right muscles and not being strong enough and all that sort. But my main injuries, the first time I ever rolled my ankle was when I was playing netball. I still remember it. It was the first time I ever had a major injury, and I thought I was like going to die or something, because the pain was just incredible. And I remember that I was on crutches, and ever since then, I guess I never rehabbed it properly. And, you know, this was what, I'm nearly 32, I'm 31, and I was 15 at the time. And I just repeated trauma of that. Once you have injure a ligament, and then you have some weakness there, you never rehab it properly, you're going to keep doing it. And so over time, I just, you know, kept rolling my ankles, particularly my left one. And then I went to the AIS in 2010, and I had a physiotherapist there say, you should try ankle braces there. Or, you know, we're going to put you on this heavy duty ankle brace. So I went from a lighter ankle brace to heavy duty. And for, you know, 10 years, I was wearing this ankle brace, and I couldn't play a game with out it. It's only literally this season I've stopped wearing my ankle braces. Because I was getting, over time, I was getting Achilles tendinopathy, which I have now. And that's, again, why it's so good that we're going to be talking about foot health, because I thought I was protecting my ankle and it's caused something else. But yes, going back to repeated ankle trauma, I ended up having basically no ligaments left in my ankle. So I was getting, you know, secondary chronic tightness and overuse because I had, you know, my calf and my quads were making my knee track, and I had, you know, all these chronic tightness in other places that was causing secondary issues because I had no stability. So my body was trying to compensate in a way to try and produce that stability that it was missing. So it got to a point where 2020 hit. In order for me to go overseas and deal with the demands of increased workload overseas, I knew I was going to have to get an ankle reconstruction. So that I did that during, you know, when there was nothing going on basically in 2020. And touch wood again, I've never had any injuries from the ankle, but I would just be walking just inside or down the street. And if just the slightest, like I'm talking about the most minute difference in surface, I would roll my ankle. It was so unstable.
Wow.
But no problems now.
And that reliance on the ankle brace, it's a long time to be relying on, you know, any brace. And it's funny, anything with the feet, or I don't know where it begins, but it's sort of like, from the waist down almost, we're willing to brace and support stuff, particularly in sport, long-term as a solution. There's sort of this mindset that, well, I can just put a knee brace on or an ankle brace and, you know, that'll make up fine. For the lack of strength and mobility that's there.
Yeah.
But if it was our back or our neck, we wouldn't run around or be playing in a neck or a back brace. We'd make sure we rehab that fully so that it's strong enough. I guess probably because we couldn't play in a neck or a back brace, but yeah, the demands of the sport mean that you want to keep playing and you want to
don't
lose your spot in the team. So if there's this band-aid that you can put on that's going to make it okay, of course you embrace that. And I guess also having the expert advice from coaches and trainers saying this will fix you.
Of course, yes.
Trainers and coaches who probably have a vested interest in keeping you on the court as much as possible. It's a real tough one, especially when you're young. I'm sure you take that advice. I mean, what have you found since connecting with us, and I guess since learning more about foot health, that brace may have been restricting you from, and I guess, what's your approach now?
Well, it was kind of funny that I had this epiphany. So I've been dealing with Achilles tendinopathy for like 2 years post my surgery. Like I had it a little bit beforehand, before my surgery. But afterwards I was like, yeah, I'm going to get this. My surgeon said your Achilles should, fix itself if you get your ankle, you know, stabilized again. And then I got it again, but worse. And now it's just been...
Just for people listening, like what is Achilles tendinopathy for those who haven't experienced it? Or what does it feel like? What's the issue?
Well, it's kind of like a chronic tendinitis. So basically it's a chronic inflammation of the and thickening of the tendon. So obviously we're talking about the Achilles here. And for me, it's very specific where my point is. You can get it at, you know, the insertion or origins or, you know, anywhere along the tendon. But for me, it's very specific. It's kind of like halfway up the heel or just above, where it goes to the, not where your heel is, but a little bit above. And I literally have these lumps that you can visually see. It's probably not going to be graceful for me to get my leg up here on camera, but... And so, you know, I was trying shockwave therapy because basically it's like a micro tearing of the, this is, you know, how I've been, it's been explained to me, micro tearing of the tendons through repeated trauma, which is, you know, repeated movements of running, jumping, all those sorts of movements, which is normal for someone playing, you know, but, in the sport that I do. But, you know, and then I was seeing physios and stuff, and like, oh, you just need to build up your calf strength. And so I did that. Once I did my surgery, I was like, all right, I'm getting onto my calves, because it runs in the family. We used to say we have chicken legs. It's so hard for me to put like any sort of muscle onto my legs, but you know, that's just the way that I was, that's my genetics. And so after my surgery, I was like, I'm really going to, you know, do my calf strength. And I was, you know, doing this and doing that. And then I was still getting Achilles problems. And so then I started thinking, I was like, oh, maybe it's like, because on shooting days, if we just go to practice and we don't do any contested stuff, I won't wear my braces because I don't need to do it. So on those days and I'm just shooting around and whatever, I didn't really have any Achilles pain. Like I might have a little bit from, you know, residual morning stiffness or this and that, or the load from yesterday or yeah, you know, the day before. And then, but every time I put on my braces, I would get like pain basically straight away. So then over time, and then it was this season in the preseason games, I rolled my ankle again, but I had gone back to a different brace where they had their straps on the inside. And I was thinking, but it's so weird because like, I feel like I'm slipping in my shoe, and maybe it's because of these, the brace, the actual straps in the brace. And so then I was like, you know what, I'm going to start taping because we do a lot of ankle work at the start. I'm going to start working on my foot strengthening. And as soon as I started like taping, a lot of my Achilles problems had like subsided a lot. It didn't obviously just go away because it's been a long time and we're doing a lot of training, but I've never felt better. And it's also because I'm doing the exercise with my feet, my toes. And that was the other thing with the physios that when I was talking about, you know, calf strength, no one really talked to me about or made the importance of, you know, well, your calf strength doesn't matter if your feet aren't the right way, basically, if you're not putting the right weight through the right toes and it's balanced and everything. And it wasn't until I was kind of back home before I came back here that I saw, you know, these new physios and guys I was working with. And it was the first time I started working on foot strength and the most simple exercises on it. So hard at the same time. Like I couldn't even activate just like trying to even just activate some muscle. The mind body connection was not there. And then when I was doing the, you know, pianos or like, you know, trying to lift the toes and stuff, it took me so long to even just get that process working. And even now I'm still working on it, but just the activation and strength I've got from the most basic exercises when I first started has made a huge difference. Huge, huge difference. So
it does, like it blows my mind that, you know, you as a professional athlete, most of your body, you can get it to do what you want it to do when you want it to do it on the court.
Right.
Whether it's your hands, your knees, you know, the way that you jump and land, you can pretty much move your body where you want it to move. But to think that the one thing that you're running around on, you don't have that mind-body connection to, it's like a big wake-up call, I guess, to go...
No, absolutely.
Where did that go? Because as children and like my mate Jim, who I work with at the Foot Collective, he's just had, she's 1 year old now, but the control that she has over her feet, and you look at a lot of young children, you know, they've got a lot of manipulation over the toes, and it's the classic case of use it or lose it, obviously, that if you're not training that, then it's going to go away. But yeah, I mean, what results did you start to see just from doing those simple exercises and just starting to integrate a little bit more of that into your training? I'm guessing you have it, like it's probably not taken over your training, but just adding that in.
Well, I think firstly, just kind of adding to what you were saying, like we spend a lot of time as a basketball athlete. I mean, I need to be in the gym a lot to just maintain strength and make sure everything's functioning. But that was also what was going wrong at the same time. I was, you know, so strong in certain areas, could lift heavy, I could do this and that in the gym. But then I was still getting the same results. Like I wasn't really you know, jumping higher or running faster or not having pain or not having limitations. Because it's like, you know, I had this strength, but I wasn't, nothing was aligned properly. So I couldn't use that in the way that it's supposed to function because, you know, I wasn't firing the right muscles because my toe or my foot arch, like I will be in this position, even when I'm standing, I've found that when I'm standing just in the kitchen, my left one was always like this and I still do it now. So just being aware of that. But if you're here, then, you know, I'm not going to fire, say, my glute muscle properly, which is going to make my knee do more of the work. And so I'm not getting them, you know, my maximum capacity or potential out of any sort of muscle or, you know, the kinetic chain. So I had the underlying, I guess, talent or, you know, genetics to be able to function fine, but not maximizing each part of the chain, basically. So, you know, people say once you hit 30, it's like, oh, you have to go to think about your career. You know, you might be coming to the end of your career, but I've never felt better in my life, honestly. And I'm doing twice as much work. I feel like I'm, you know, in a 25-year-old body, even though I have a little bit of pain here and there, but that's given seeing, you know, I'm spending 5-6 hours on the court a day, 2 sessions a day. And we just run here in Europe. They just run and run and run and run. Like, you make your basket, you got to run. You miss a basket, run. 5-on-0, run. Shooting, run. So I've never been able to do so much more and still have lower pain than what I was having, and being older as well. So I think that's, you know, that's just the beginning of it. So now that I know I need to put my feet in the right position, I'm working on my strength and stability. So that's going to build up to every other part of my body. And into my performance as well.
It's literally like retraining your body from the ground up at 30, which seems like a, you know, it's a crazy thing to think about when you've been playing for so long. Does it astound you that you've gotten this far into your career without anyone bringing it up or mentioning it?
Honestly, yes. And particularly because of the type of injury that I had too, like it was around my foot, and it was just more about, you know, you got to build up your calf strength or, you know, your ankle stability, but what is connecting to your ankle? Like, I need to work more. You know, I have a bit of a toe helix now too. I have one, my left foot is a whole size smaller than my right. So does that, you know, does that change my gait or anything? I had my gait looked at and all that, and it was fine. And so it was kind of like, all right, it just must be a strengthening deficit in your carbs, so just work on that and you'll be fine. But no one actually really went down into the specifics from the very like start of where you should start, and that's your foot position, your toe strength, and again the most basic thing. And it's like, yes, now I'm been playing professionally for so long in the gym, getting PBs, lifting, you know, heavy, looking big, but now it's like I'm actually doing more work by doing a lot less and really working on the function and the, you know, the strength and mobility of your feet, which is the, you know, your ankle and your feet are the first and last joint and part of your body, especially in, you know, the sport that we do, to hit the floor. And we're taking in so much ground reaction forces and everything like that too. So it has to be, you know, in top shape.
We wanted to take a quick break from the episode to let you know about our ultimate free foot health resource. If you're listening, you've probably already started the journey towards improving your foot and movement health, but if you're still wearing conventional shoes most of the time, that's anything cushioned, heeled, narrow, or rigid, it's kind of like taking one step forward and two steps back. Knowing what shoe is right for you, though, can be super confusing. That's why we made the Guide to Foot Freedom. We've taken everything our team of foot health experts have learned over the years and synthesized it into one handy manual, packed with all you need to know about unleashing the natural power of your foundation. You'll learn how to understand your feet, the truth about modern footwear, the 5 F's for finding natural footwear, plus a step-by-step guide with training videos to help you assess your foot function and improve it so you can safely and seamlessly transition into shoes that will finally give your feet freedom. The best part is, like I said, it's absolutely free. Just head to thefootcollective.com and click Learn to find the free ebook, The Guide to Foot Freedom. You'll find the link in the show notes. Now back to the episode.
Does that excite you then, to know that you're, you know, that you've got this, I guess, new lease on your body and, you know, a new way to approach what you're doing? Like you said, like obviously 30, there's only so long you can play for, but yeah, does that gee you up to go, okay, well, there's more I can work on now and maybe I can get more out of my body?
No, that is exactly just what you said. That's it. Like it's so exciting because once you, again, you know, there's still this stigma, especially with women. When you hit your 30s, you've got to start thinking about family, and then your body must be, you know, ready to start thinking about retirement. But if you know, if you're working on the basics and foot health, it's like I've never felt better. And I'm doing so much, excuse me, so much more than I've ever done in terms of loading on my body. And yeah, I just feel, even though I have, you know, niggles here and there, my body has never felt so much better. And it's just so encouraging and exciting. And I know that if I'm working on, you know, my foot strength and everything else is going to be okay. Because it starts from the ground up.
And I guess it's not just like a physical benefit that you're feeling, because for someone who has had a career where they've just been waiting to walk down the footpath and roll their ankle to be stuck like that, there would be some sort of paranoia or, you know, fear in the back of your mind every time you're stepping onto the court or just walking around that something could go wrong. But to know that you have a way to now build that stability, it must put your mind a bit more at ease as well and give you that, I guess, more confidence going into games. Do you think it's changed the way that you're sort of approaching games?
For sure. Yeah, for sure. I mean, well, first of all, I definitely could not be living in Italy with cobblestone streets everywhere. I couldn't have done it just from a lifestyle purpose, let alone, playing a sport. Because when I was walking, I would have to look down where I was going. If it was any sort of like uneven surface or if I was walking outdoors, I would always just have to look down. And now I can walk normally, like look around and talk to people and not have to concentrate on where my feet are going. But yes, for sure, going into games, I don't have to worry. Have I packed my braces? That's another thing. Because if I haven't, it's like I can't play then. There's no way I can play if there's no... if I don't have my braces. Also, they're kind of hard to get as well. So it's like, oh, you know, where am I going to get the next pair from? So there's that. But also, it's just like I don't have to worry about, I don't want to get injured. I don't want to hurt my ankle today. Like I don't, or this season or, you know, next week or whatever. Or I don't want to have to deal with my knee being sore because my ankle isn't as mobile today. So it's just, I feel like, yes, a part of my subconscious and my conscious mind has freed up because I'm not spending any energy on that, which might sound so silly when you think about it, like as if you think about your ankles or where you're playing. But, you know, even to the point where it's like I started to have this, and I'm still breaking the subconscious fear of I couldn't drive to the basket because I know the feeling of rolling my ankle because all of my ankle injuries has been landing on someone's foot or, you know, doing something where it's kind of, you can't prevent it. It's just one of those things, you know, you can prevent the severity of it, but you can't prevent the actual event from happening. There's no way that if you land on someone's foot at full force at a certain angle, it's going to happen. Your body just can't do that. But now I'm like, I don't even think about, I don't have this fear as much of driving to the basket. And, you know, head coaches say, oh, you need to add more to your game and drive to the basket. And I actually worked with a psychologist. I'm like, I have this fear because I've rolled my ankle so many times that when I jump or when I jump to get a rebound, when I go up for a layup, I'm going to land on someone's foot. Like I just, it makes me. And so I just like, I'm one of the best shooters in the league. And I know for sure that that's half of the reason of why I'm a good shooter, because I had to create a shot without going into contact with this subconscious fear of landing on someone's foot or rolling my ankle. So I don't have that anymore like that. It's just, it's really crazy to think that mind-body That's connection awesome. As well.
Yeah, unreal. And what has been the reaction from teammates? I always like to get this insight because it's still obviously quite a foreign concept to a lot of people. And I guess being the only Aussie in the team, they probably think you're barefoot all the time back at home, and that's just how they did it on the farm. So it may not be too odd to them, but... Yeah, have you tried to share any of the knowledge that you've gained with teammates? Have you seen any other teammates sort of embracing that approach? What have you experienced? I mean, not just in this team, but across the years.
No, of course. It's now starting to become more of a general thing, and like a normal thing. Like I wouldn't say, general, but normal, because it's so important. And I think just the awareness around foot health as well is becoming more available. And it's, you know, everyone's realizing that, okay, like maybe I should try this. And particularly when you've tried everything. Like I've tried so much for my Achilles, from therapy, shockwave, medication. Like I'm not someone to try and numb something with medication, but you know, a painkiller or anti-inflammatory or something. I've literally tried so much to try and fix it, and it wasn't until I stumbled across you guys and the guys I was working with before I came here about foot health that this has been the only thing that's kind of helped it, and it makes sense. But I had a conversation with my teammate today. I actually pulled out my soulmate, and I was giving it a crack. And she's like, oh, I've been looking at these. I saw these on the internet, actually. She's like, where did you get these? This from? She's like, oh, because she has a golf ball that she rolls her plantar fascia with. And she's like, oh, no, I can't even tell you, like, how important it is. Like, I've just been blown away. And she had a conversation with her physio. She's Serbian. She's played, she's been at the Olympics and stuff. And she was like, it is, like, so crazy. And how important it is, like foot health. And she has knee problems, like with her cartilage and stuff. She's like, if I don't do my activation of my toes and my strengthening stuff that I started with my physio like a few years ago, I wasn't firing my glute properly, because same concept as my ankle before. When she was standing there, when she was walking, they found that she was actually walking with her toes up. Because of the pain that she was getting in her knees, but that's also because everything wasn't firing properly. So then she wasn't firing her glute properly, which was causing these other issues. And so she's had to learn too, and she's older than me. So it's like, you know, as you get older, you learn more about your body, and you know what niggle is, what niggle, what pain is different to just a generalized soreness. And so you're always kind of researching ways and finding new ways if things don't happen the way that they want them to. But overseas life, as I said, is so crazy that you have to take care of your body or else you won't make it at all. So it is seen a lot more overseas here in the European circuit than I had seen at home. I'm not saying it hasn't happened at home. I mean, I haven't been there for a few seasons, but it was only just starting to come in. But as soon as I got here, it's like everyone is always rehabbing and doing activation and, you know, feet stuff, which is, pretty cool.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's funny that a lot of the athletes who've connected with us have sort of been around your age or, you know, in the latter half of their career, I suppose, who've experienced injuries and, you know, have discovered that after trying all of these other things that weren't working, just by adding in a little bit of the foot training, they've seen these benefits. Yeah, I guess, you know, our big mission with recording podcasts like this is to hopefully not just reach players in that stage of their career, but to try and help you know, juniors coming through, because it's the sort of thing that I think we're going to continue to see a lot more of if it's not accounted for, particularly, I guess, given the footwear that, you know, people have been wearing for a lot longer now throughout their juniors. And I think just young athletes in general, the workload and the demand of the sports to reach the pinnacle of the game now are far higher than they've ever been. And so if that alignment and that foundation isn't strong from the outset, you know, I think we're gonna sadly see more of these long-term injuries. And I mean, you only have to look at the amount of ACL injuries across women's AFL here in Australia, and across sport in general. Like, I'm a big football fan, and I feel like my team Chelsea is losing a player to a serious injury every week or 2 weeks, which, yeah, I don't know. I can't help but think that not that it's all about the feet, but there are a lot of sports where your feet are your most important asset, because they're the thing that are moving you around, unless you're
take you everywhere. yes, you know, that's true.
There's not many sports that it's not crucial to, and resoundingly from a lot of the people we've spoken to, it's not common practice. And I mean, it's great to hear that there are players that are embracing that, and I think a lot of it comes down to probably just destigmatizing the feet in general, and building that, you know, building that awareness. Because for someone like yourself who grew up barefoot and knew how good that felt, there clearly was a period where that, I guess, not was forgotten, but you needed to rediscover that awareness.
For sure.
I just hope it doesn't take serious injuries for that to happen for people, because
I mean, that's a sad part. But I think, like, even now, with some of the NBA players, like, I obviously follow a lot of sports, but I'm more in tune with the basketball side. Like, I will follow a lot of basketball pages and stuff, and you see, you know, some of the top NBA players, and a lot of I think about Wemby. I can't say his full name. He's like, he's massive. He's young, this French guy. He's massive. And you see him, like, doing the most basic foot exercises and movements and stuff like that. So it's being introduced. I think it will also be fast-tracked in terms of the importance of it, because, you know, the real, like, the pros, they're adding it to their regime, because it's been become aware of how important it is for performance and just general health and stuff. So I think it's getting a lot more exposure, and yes, the destigmatizing around feet and all that. And I think the other thing that I think people get turned off with when it comes to, you know, foot strengthening is sometimes doing the most basic stuff can be so boring, but once you incorporate a fun way to do it, like, you know, with the soulmate or the hacky ball, or, you know, doing stuff with friends and making each other accountable and doing that stuff, it's and then you see the benefits. Once you start to see the benefits, you just, there's no other way. Once you kind of understand and experience it, you just, you're like, oh my god, I've been doing this with, like, my whole career without this tool. And, like, imagine if I had started this when I was, you know, 11 years old. So I think, I mean, as I said, if some people think it's boring, if they then know that the most simple exercise can give you some of the greatest benefits, again, it's a great advantage and a great tool to be able to do.
And that's really what we're trying to do here. Like, it doesn't have to be hard. That's what I've tried to say to every athlete that I've spoken to. It's, if you're doing nothing, something is going to be better than that nothing. And
absolutely,
if you do have some simple tools and a playful mindset, it doesn't have to be seen as something you have to sort of add on as strict, focused foot rolling and calf raises. Like, just simply playing a balance game with a few, you know, teammates, that simple act, I mean, it's going to build more connection between you and your mates as well, which is fantastic.
For sure.
It doesn't have to be hard. And yeah, I think you're right. I think if we do start seeing more of those pro athletes leading the charge, we're going to see a ripple effect, because if anyone wants to be the best, they're going to do what the best are doing. And
absolutely,
if there's a 1% that they're missing out on, they're crazy if they're not giving it a go.
Yeah. And I think that's also the power of, you know, social media these days too, is that we have the access of a simple exercise or a training regime of the best of the best. And it could just be a simple foot exercise. But also being, a pro athlete living overseas in the European circuit it's tiring. So to do another session of like trying to go to the gym and do like, you know, weights when you're like completely exhausted after 5 hours of practice, intense practice, is like the last thing that I want to do. Even if I have some weights at home, I can't be bothered doing it. I just want to just not have to really use any of my body. So then to pull out the soulmate the toe bands or the spaces and stuff like that, I'm getting the same benefits without, you know, utilizing so much energy in a recovery period too. So I'm getting my recovery, but I'm also improving my body without having to spend a whole, you know, another 1-2 hours of a gym session. So going back to the most simple thing can be just the best.
And I mean, a lot of the tools that we sell and like a lot of our approach has been designed for, I guess, like the average person who maybe doesn't like going to the gym or doesn't have the strictness in their regime to go and pump out 40 calf raises and do all of this, you know, boring.
I mean,
basic.
I don't even have 40 calf raises in me.
No, exactly.
No, but I get you.
You know, like people, we've designed it for those people so that it's like, hey, easy to plug into your life. But I think with pro athletes as well, you guys are working hard a lot. Mm. And you guys also got into the game that you play probably at the very beginning because you loved playing. And so if we can
absolutely,
just add a bit
yes.
more unstructured play back into all of that work you're having to do, mm-hmm. I think it can only benefit just your approach to the game you love, because
absolutely
you can get lost in the, I'm sure you'd get lost in the focus and the seriousness of having to compete and win this game. And at the end of the day, you are still playing a sport. So I think the more unstructured
yes.
play you can add into life, it's a good reminder that it doesn't have to all be serious.
No, and that's also why I love doing this stuff too. It makes me focus almost like in a meditation zone too. Not having to think
flow
of,
state.
Like so intense. Yeah, a flow state. Perfect. Because I'm just focusing on that. I can just focus on the balance and you just get into, yeah, that flow state. And I love doing that. Like, you know, I meditate and stuff too, but doing that unstructured play in a flow state and doing something that's enjoyable and putting you into that zone. But then you also know that it's going to help you short term and long term, and prime your body for the next session, for the next week, the next game, and have this kind of compounding effect on your body, you're kind of getting the 2-for-1 at the same time. But you're going to get a benefit, and you also kind of, it depends how you approach it too, but that's what I love about it as well. And then if I'm doing, balance stuff, it's, again, simple challenge of balance or something, athletes are crazy competitive. So, of course, we're going to try win anything that we can do. So there's that side of it too, you know, fun play as well. But I love that kind of meditation flow state while working on my – I know this is something that is going to help my Achilles and my body the most as well.
Absolutely. Well, Maddie, thanks so much for taking the time today. It's been awesome to catch up, and I'm just stoked to
thanks
hear
for having me on here.
Yeah, that you're feeling so good. Like it's awesome to just know that, yeah, through a random connection and through finding the right physios, you've been able to really get on an exciting path. And if anyone's listening and they want to follow along with your career, I mean, what team should we be following? Where can we catch you for a game if we've got any listeners in Italy?
Yes, we'll call it the A1 league, they call it here, so the Women's Basketball League. I am playing for a team called Brixia, which is in Brescia at the moment, which is about 45-ish minutes from Milan. So if you're up kind of near the Alps and out that way, it's actually a beautiful city. But it's a great league. It's very competitive. It's been a game changer for me, as I said, both on and off the court. And I'm just loving it. Italy is just the most beautiful country. And it's just, opened my mind and everything to a lot of things. But I don't know where I'll be next season or what I'll do. But I do know that my body is still going to keep kicking on for a bit, just from, working on my toe strength and my feet health and function and freedom.
Beautiful. Well, thanks so much, and we'll chat soon enough.
Thanks for tuning in to the Restore to Explore podcast. If you enjoyed the episode, we'd really appreciate you leaving a review wherever you're listening. That's the best way to support us and to help us reach more people. If you're after more free TFC education or training, looking for any of our TFC tools, natural footwear discounts, or you want specialized guidance on your foot health journey from a trusted TFC health professional, head to thefootcollective.com. All of the important links are in the show notes of the episode.